Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
Saatnya kembali ke drawing room.
That's right, you heard it. Time to retire to the drawing room. It's the first of our Jakarta drawing rooms tonight. Well, with two people who have their finger on the pulse here, they know exactly what's happening in Jakarta before it's even happened, and then they tell us all about it. Our very own ABC correspondents, George Roberts and Helen Brown from the ABC and the Australia Network. Welcome both of you to the drawing. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming here.
It's taken us about 2 seconds, I think, to figure out that traffic is the number one issue. How long have each of you been here?
I've been here for 10 months.
Two and a half years. I'm pretty chill about the traffic now.
You're the veteran. Yeah. Was that the first issue that you gravitated towards when you arrived?
Definitely. You find yourself talking about it and tweeting about it a lot more, and you realise it has become an obsession. And but I think also the other thing is, it's of all the Asian cities I'd been to, this was the hardest one to get my head around, sort of trying to get directions right, because there is really no public transport that you can just easily jump on and off of. And secondly, everything's puta balik here. You know, you go up, but you've got to go back to get to where you want to go to.
Yes. Well, in fact, it's often quicker to walk than drive.
Yes.
We discovered this today. We did an interview, which will air tomorrow, and it was 500 metres from our hotel.
Mm. But you had a car offered to you.
We got a cab. Well, because there's a lot of gear. Right? So you get in a cab.
You don't walk here, Wally.
Well, apparently.
No, you don't. What's
That's
walking?
Why there's barely any footpaths.
Yeah.
So it's like a surprise that someone's walking.
Yeah. How long does it take as an Australian to adjust to such a radically different environment?
Oh, yeah. You adjust pretty quickly. You kind of have to throw your hands up in the air and go, oh, well, that's it.
Yeah.
There was one day where we had to do an interview, and it ended up taking us 7 hours to do one interview.
Yeah.
And it's only about half an hour to an hour away from here. But it took us, it took us about an hour and a half to get there. Then it started raining, so the talent was late because they got stuck in a flood. So flood shut it down the traffic.
This is a city that floods a lot. We should point out.
Rainy season. Yeah. I think there's about 4 metres of annual rainfall a year in West Java. So a lot of rain.
Yes.
And then, the talent couldn't turn up because they were stuck in traffic. We could have waited, but it turned out it ended up taking them 7 hours to the location, so lucky we didn't. So we packed our stuff up again, spent 2 hours stuck in traffic on the way home, and had to do the whole thing again the next day just to pick up the one interview for a story. So
was it a good interview?
It was a killer.
It better be. You got to win several awards for something like that. In fact, you'd win the award just for the story of having done it, wouldn't you?
Well, it was just for a little colour piece, actually, so it probably wasn't really that worth it. We could have just asked him over the phone what his perspective was, but no, it was... Yeah, but you've just got to take it. It's one of the things.
The great thing is people expect you to be late. I mean, you know, if you are late, it's no big deal. Whereas in Australia, if you're late, it's a big deal. And, you know, why are you wasting my time being late? But here it's, sure, not a problem. We understand. You know, we'll wait around. If we can't wait around, we'll do it another time.
Yes.
It's people have adjusted that way, and they already have an easygoing attitude. So it's, you know...
Well, I think that delivers us to these broader questions of culture and temperament, and how culture is shaped by the physical environment and infrastructure, the patience that's there, what is it? I suppose it's a more flexible understanding or experiencing of time. So as an Australian, you come to Jakarta. What culturally is it that hits you in the face most? What is it about the people that you think Australians will immediately understand or hook onto it?
About the people, for me, it's how friendly they are. Everyone's really friendly, always smiling, so happy to see you and help you out. And the other thing that hits you is the massive class divide here. Just down the road, there's a shopping centre that, you know, typically has at least one Ferrari parked outside. But some days, one day I was there, there was a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, and $1 million Rolls Royce. And outside, there's a guy selling Buxo balls trying to make his $2 for the day.
Yeah.
The stark divide is amazing. And my brother came to visit me, and he's traveled throughout Asia and around the world. And he said of anywhere he's been, Simon, I'm talking about you, he said that this was where he really thought that divide was the most obvious.
Hmm. And I think the other thing that struck me, apart from that, was that maybe it's just me, but I think many Australians have a view of Indonesia, because of it's a majority Muslim country, it's very conservative, you know, you can't really relate to the people that are here, there's a different vibe, and you come here, particularly in Jakarta probably, because of its sort of cosmopolitan city status, but the diversity here and the acceptance that people have for each other, regardless of what they do. Now, you know, there are troubles with that, definitely, but generally, you know, for an Australian to see a woman wearing traditional Islamic dress walking next to a woman who's dressed like a Western woman would be, in fact, maybe even shorter shorts and a singlet top, and they're the best of friends, you know, it's not an issue. They've both made personal choices and they've both accepted those choices.
Well, even more than that, I mean, on the issue of inter-community harmony or tension, as the case may be, and we spoke about that earlier in the program with Sandra Hamid, this sort of escalation of tension and conflict. We hear about those stories occasionally in Australia, and we'll talk about them. What we don't hear about is, for example, the demonstration or the protest that took place in the city. Hundreds of people who running very much their protest on a pro-tolerance, pro-harmony platform, including the people wearing dressed very conservatively.
Yep.
Why is it? I mean, you're journalists covering this area. Why is it that those stories are so much harder to tell to an Australian audience?
Because they're
Do you want the truth?
Are you about to get yourself fired? Is that what
it is? I'm always about to get myself fired. There's nothing new this week. No, I think there's certain things that, you know, that Australia is particularly interested in hearing about. A lot of those are driven by the political agendas in Australia, and they become the big stories. So, you know, beef imports, asylum seekers, Australians on drug trials, you know, and then there's, you know, all the bureaus we've got around Australia and around the world. If you need to be able to and we do, pitch stories regularly about completely different things, about religious tolerance, about clashes, but it's never going to have, I guess, the same resonance or be able to squeeze into a bulletin as easily as those other high, you know, high priority
stories.
Okay,
well, what I want to get to, I mean, there's a general thing, I suppose, in journalism and news media where bad news will always come in ahead of good news, and that's generally true. Is that all we're talking about here, or is there something else about the way that Australia and Australian journalists and editors and whoever it is that's making decisions look at the at Indonesia that means that it's even harder?
Well, from my perspective, because the programs that are my priority that I report to are broadcast across Asia, and so my focus is a little bit different. It's not so much the Australian driven agenda, which gives me an enormous amount of latitude, I have to say, and I love that. It's fantastic. You know, my job is to talk about Indonesia to the rest of Asia, and the stories go to Australia, and you know, you can see that the interest in Australia is a lot more narrow than, you know, the interest that I'm meant to pick up on.
Do you feel freed by that?
I do. Yes, it's fabulous.
Cop that, George.
But George gets all the hot breaking news. But it is, I think, and I think generally this just does come back to a lack of understanding, really, and, you know, raises a question about how much does Australia really want to know about its Asian neighbours? How far is it willing to go to really learn about them and take a wider interest in the region?
Can you compare yourself now to yourself 2.5 years ago? What you said, two and a half years ago?
She looks a lot younger.
Just, it's the humidity and the warmth.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. How, I mean, without wanting to impugn yourself too much, how ignorant was the...
I'll impugn myself completely. I really didn't know much at all. In fact, I think I'd avoided Indonesia in my travels, and I was trying to think about why, and it was because of the picture that I had of the country. It just didn't sound flattering or interesting at all. There was the Suharto-era regime stuff. There was Timor. You know, that was the picture I had. So I thought countries are much more interesting to me. I didn't really know any Indonesians either in Australia. So when I got here, it was a very, very good reality check. And it was, I actually wanted to go to China and work, and I got here and I wanted to stay here because I just realised how much I'd been missing out on.
George, you are talking to the domestic Australian audience about Indonesia.
Hello there.
So you're a little bit more boxed in the work, the stories you can do than, say, Helen on Australian Network.
A little bit, but not completely. Yeah.
Is there a story you wish you could do?
There is.
You just can't?
Yeah.
Want to do it now?
I can't do it now, but yeah, that would be silly. Breaking story.
What kind of story to break it. Would it be?
Oh, there's lots of stories. I mean, the good thing about the... Yeah, I mean, I'd be silly to tell you the stories that are like my... What are they? Like the jewel in the crown of, you know... Yep. But before I leave, there's one particular one I'd love to do. There are some stories that are a bit risky.
Risky where? Here?
Without going near that, though, the good thing about, I guess, you know, Helen is a bit, like she explained, her situation's a bit different to mine and her audience is a bit different. But the good thing about being, you know, to be the drum of the ABC a bit with the ABC is there's so many different platforms. So, sure, if news, you know, really just wants, you know, stories on asylum seekers and, you know, and cattle, then you can go to, you know, Radio CAF and all these other things and file the interesting stories. So, yeah, but I think the onus is on us to kind of, or in particular, I feel the onus on me, the ABC correspondent, is to tell some of those more interesting stories. And probably the ones I've done in the past 10 months that I've got the most out of have been the more interesting, quirky stories about Indonesia.
Give us an example.
Probably one of them was an illegal mining story about the jungle and trekking into this area of the jungle and finding this amazing illegal mining operation where these people were, you know, digging their own little burrows down into the mountain, and we sent a guy with a little camera on his head down into the mountain. And again, really friendly people in the jungle, and they let us shelter under their tarpaulin, you know, in the jungle as it bucketed down. And it was just, like, it was rewarding from the effort we put in, but also rewarding from it was just a completely different story that said something else. Indonesia that, you know, that we don't do every day.
And there's a lot to tell, isn't there? I mean, we're talking about a country that's got close enough to 300 million people.
The hardest thing is telling the stories, getting the interviews, people coming up for interviews. making it to the interview without getting hit by a flood or a traffic jam means that they leave.
Or the usual thing is turning up at the interview or the place you're going to film, and it's utterly, completely different to everything you thought it was going to be.
Well, listen to that. That was utterly different to what I thought it was going to be. 5 minutes to eight or five to five if you're in Jakarta, as we are here for the drawing room. So just a few minutes left. I'm here with George Roberts and Helen Brown. They're both correspondents for the ABC. George on the ABC that goes domestically and Helen on Australia Network. There are a lot of issues that come up in the Australian imagination of Indonesia, and the classic one would be West Papua. We're going to have a chance to look at that later in the week, so I don't need to go into details there. But just at the conceptual level, once you're here and you're working in that sort of environment, how different does the issue look? Do you start to have thoughts about it and analyse it in a way that was unimaginable to you before you came?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to. You're in the country where it is actually occurring. And one of the fabulous things about this role, this job, is that you get to talk to a wider range of people about what might actually be going on. Of course, it is extremely difficult for us to know that because it's not made easy for us to get into West Papua. Neither of us have been. But you are exposed to a wider understanding of what might be happening there, and that's from all sides. So you have to, and sometimes you have to, with not just with Papua, but with some others as well, you have to stop and reassess what your preconceptions may be. To ensure that you are actually doing your job properly and getting to as much information as you can. So it's been good that way. I think you're in a country that's diverse and things aren't always as they seem from afar. So you have to go in with an open mind and you find out a lot more than you expected. Usually.
Because you hear Indonesian voices on these issues that ordinarily you wouldn't.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Indonesian people who've been in there. Kinds of reasons. You know, I even have a friend who works in one of the local TV stations who went in and did some stories. You know, just to have his insight of what was going on there is really valuable.
Yeah. I find it probably the one most frustrating thing is that it's a place you really want to tell stories about. As Helen said, it's not made easy for us to get in here. In there, we're not banned from going in, but it's difficult to get approval.
Yeah.
So it's kind of frustrating because you really want to go there. You really, really want to do stories about it. And the hardest thing is verifying stories and sources from afar. And there's kind of this thing where we kind of, all the journalists and the other correspondents talk about, well, this guy gave me this information about West Papua. Does that stack up? And you end up having a chat. Go, well, no, that guy gave me complete rubbish last time. It all turned out to be wrong, and I went to air with it, and I'm really embarrassed because it turned out to be wrong. So there's kind of this, but then there's a big difficulty in getting an accurate information information flow right, which makes it difficult because you have to kind of hold off and try to verify anything before you run it. So it does, it makes it very difficult. At the same time, I wish the Indonesian government would just let us in there so we could see what was going on.
Well,
so.
That's a perfectly fair comment.
And in fact, the foreign minister gets asked that every time at the Jakarta Foreign Correspondents Club. Can we go into West Papua?
No, next question.
It's important.
Look, it's been great to have the chance to catch up with you, get that sort of Australian insight into what's different about this place from inside as opposed to outside. So I'm indebted to both of you for stopping by.
Thanks for stopping by here.
You're
out. Not at all.
Look at all this gear. Can you leave it here?
No. Oh.
Can
no,
we this microphone?
That's
nice.
It. I'm cutting you off now because otherwise we won't have anything that we can take back to... George Roberts and Helen Brown, ABC correspondents in Indonesia, my guests in the drawing room.